I do want to go through a couple announcements. And this is family style, so we're gonna fill every seat, and then we'll go get some more chairs. Once we fill every seat, amen. All right. A couple announcements, and then we'll get into our topic today. This is the first installment of, it has to be a total of four. I think there's four Sundays in this month. In addition to that, Pastor Gail and I will be we do a John and Gail. I'm John, she's Gail. We do a John and Gail Facebook Live broadcast. We haven't done it in a while, but we're going to do it because of Family Reimagined Month. We're going to do it on Wednesdays on Facebook Live. At 7 p.m. We've been married 39 years. It'd be 40 years. And we got married, I got married on a Saturday and went to high school on that Monday. Amen. And we had two kids in our first year of marriage. So when I talk about family, we imagine we've seen what God can do with a family, even when you had a couple that didn't have a clue what to do or what family was, and I'll share a little bit of that later. So join us on Facebook Live on Wednesdays for the entire month of June at 7 p.m. And listen, on our John and Gail, we're really live, we're raw, and we're kind of funny at times. So join us on Facebook Live. Share and let others know. Sometimes people just have a hard time. Marriages work anyway. Even if you're married to a wonderful, sensational man like myself. And a wonderful wife like Gail. It still work. How many know what I'm talking about? Don't raise your hands too high, brothers. Don't raise like, yes! It still work. It still work. But, amen. But, amen. Through perseverance, I think it's a tremendously rewarding, I know that it's a tremendously rewarding experience. So, join us on Wednesdays. Until next Sunday, Dr. Kennard will be with us. She is a PhD family counselor, therapist, specializing in women's wellness and family. That's her specialty. Amen. And because we want to sow into the family, so she's going to be with us. We're going to be doing an interview with her. We're going to have Q&A with her. And it's going to be a blessing. She deals with toxicity. She's got a tremendous story herself. So join us next Sunday. The following Sunday will be Father's Day. Amen. Amen. And on that day, we're going to have a panel of men up here. We're going to talk. And they won't all be fathers. I don't want it all represented because every man in the church is not a father. So we're going to have different age groups. So we're going to have men sharing. And there'll be another Q&A. And we're going to be raw now. Amen. We're going to tell the truth and our experience. So that we're going to do that on Father's Day. So the entire month, I won't go further than that, but the entire month is just dedicated to families. So we invite you to be here. Again, thank God for everyone that's taken the time to come. Thank God for all our guests. The other announcements, the retreat in August, please, if you want to go on the annual retreat to Fahala where they're swimming, fishing, all kinds of activities. You got to register. We need everyone to register. The early bird is over, so it's $200 registration. You'll see people in the welcome area as you leave if you're interested in that. And lastly, July 16th is our Volunteer Appreciation Day, where we will celebrate all our volunteers that labor and work behind the scenes to make service happen. Amen. And thank God for everybody that came out to the prophetic activation yesterday. It was off the chain. It's good to know the Spirit of God talks to us. God has so much to say about you. You're on the heart of God, and He has so much to say about you. Amen. So we had the activation yesterday, and it was a blessing. So let's put up our decree, even though we're not doing a let your style, but I want us to read the decree because it decrees over our family. So we're going to read that together and then we're going to get going here. Let's read it together. Father, I thank you for the word. As I receive, meditate, and obey your word, I become the word. Then I can do what the word says I can do. I can have what your word says I can have. The power of your word impacts my family for 1,000 generations. Amen. God bless you all. So, why family imagine? Why family imagine or reimagine? Because we are a product of our family. You are a product of where you come from. You're a product of your family. The things they taught you, the culture of your family, how things were done, the traditions of your family language. They say the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. And you know, you'll get somebody to tell you, you know what, you look just like them Johnsons. You even walk like your dad. You ever hear you even talk like your dad? You look like, even your words, that's how people, they talk, because you are a product of where you come from. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes that's bad. When Pastor Gail and I got married, her father wasn't present. My father wasn't around. I didn't know what it meant to be a man. We didn't do the best we could. We're going to try to keep this family together. We come from that image. And so every family image is not perfect. And sometimes things that were passed down just wasn't really good. And so even though we have an image, I brought this and send the young lady here with the, come here for a second. Since I didn't come here to do all that. So sometimes we have an image of our family. We have our family projects an image, right? And sometimes the image is broken in some areas. We learn mistruths. We learn prejudices. You know, our value system is off sometimes. And what we do in what a family does, they take this image and they hand it to the next generation. And then, come on up, sister. I know, you know, you're not older, but we're going to pretend. And then they take that and they hand it to the next generation. And if we don't address the cracks in the image of our family, dysfunction follows from one generation to the next to the next. So what do we need to do? I'll take that back. Thank you. You guys are great. If you don't, you need to re-image your family. What does that mean? You need to recreate some things. You need to relearn some things. You need to say, you know what? I was taught white man ain't no good. Don't trust the white man. Hand it down. And you live your life postured. I ain't trusting no white man. Now, he got a job, a bonus, a contract you need, and now you don't trust him because you've been taught not to trust him. You got to say, you know what, that ain't right because all white people ain't bad. All black people ain't good. Amen. Sometimes it's the people closest to you that'll stab you in the back. So you have to recreate your family, the truths of your family. Today we're going to talk about core values. There are pens, there are postcards on your tables. When we get to the question, we'll ask a question, and we're going to have you discuss it around your table, your core values. And then we're going to have some people share. This is unusual to our Sunday morning. Typically we have seats and preaching, but if we're going to engage families, we got to dialogue. Amen? All right. God orchestrated the family. God designed the family. The family came before the church. There was no church. God created a family. God says, you know what? I can do what I want to do in the earth. Is that the young people? We need the young people released. I don't know if Connie was signaling for the young people. But God, if they can be in here, I want them in so they can be part of it. God says, I can do in the earth what I want to do through a family that's whole. Through a family created in my image. So God didn't need a church. He didn't need a church. He said, you know what? Give me Adam and Eve. I'm going to create them in my image. And then I'm going to bless them to have babies. And because they're without sin and because they're not marred by the world, they can fulfill my purpose in the earth. And from generation to generation, they'll have children. This is Genesis 1:28. God blessed them. He said to them, have children so that there will be many of you. Fill the earth and bring it under control. Rule over the fish of the seas and the birds of the sky and rule over every living creature that moves along the ground. That's Genesis 1:28. So God wanted to recreate. He wanted to fill the earth with family, redeemed family. Amen. Then God says, you know what? When that didn't work out and sin came, God started dealing with men, of course. Then God dealt with Noah and his family. All through the Bible, God looks. He doesn't look. Sometimes in the church, we look at ourselves individually. What's my purpose? What's my design? God, what am I supposed to do? And it's really when God looks at you, he doesn't look at you as a sole individual if you have a family. He looks at you in context of your family. Because he's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looks at you as a whole. But sometimes we were taught that the world was coming to an end and it's the last day and things about to be over. We didn't think our grandchildren would inherit anything because we were so ready to go. We had our bags packed, our rapture bags packed. And from generation to generation, we're still here. Amen. Unpack your bags. Tell somebody at the table, unpack your bags and pass it on to your children and your grandchildren. And don't hold back no teaching to them because you think things about to be over. That has hurt the church and has hurt us as a people. We don't teach people how to save, how to invest, how to have businesses, how to have generational responsibility because we thought everything was going to be over, so we just held back some things because it's all going to be over. Now we got artificial intelligence, and we say, oh, my God, that's the beast. Surely that's the beast. It's about to really be over. And we don't do nothing for our children. We don't have no 50-year plan, 10-year plan, 25-year plan. We don't buy land, pass on land because it's all about to be over. Amen. Let me get off that so I can get, that's a sore spot for me. All right. But we should plan for our family. God wants to use your family. He wants to use you as an individual, and he wants to use your family. He wants your sons and your daughters. Matter of fact, Malachi said in the last verses of Malachi, just before we have the New Testament, the verse of Malachi said, you know what? John the Baptist is going to come in the spirit of Elijah, and this is what he's going to do. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their son, and he's going to turn the hearts of the sons back to their fathers, lest there be a curse on the earth. You know why the nation's cursed? The nation is cursed when there's a breakdown of the family. Because strong families make strong churches. Strong families make strong communities. Strong families make strong cities. Strong and states. You got to have strong families. But there's been such an attack against the family. Anybody that wants to can say they're a family now. We don't talk about that in the church. Everybody says a family. Well, we let them be a family. Let them be a family. Listen, I love everybody. Because just because you call yourself a family doesn't mean you're a family. God had a pattern of family. He had a design for family. And when we see that break down, we see society break down. It's in the family. When the church came, and we're about to get into core values here now. When the church came, when the church emerged, it wasn't supposed to be like a okay, I'm the bishop, and the bishop of the house, and everybody kiss my ring and bring me a gift and place offerings at my feet and all that foolishness. It's supposed to be a group of people that are families. So if your family, if you've gone through some things and your family is dysfunctional, you should be able to come into the church and find family. Amen. Not drama. Not people stabbing in the back. Amen. This should be a place where you can come in and you say, man, them people, they really love each other. Amen. And they talk to me. I went to a church one time. Pastor Gary and I, we knew the pastor. We went to this church. Man, they ain't nobody say nothing to us. They ain't say hi to us. Pastor Gail's very tolerant. She's very forgiving. I had an attitude. I had to ask somebody where the bathroom was. You know, the pastor stood up. He looked at us, didn't even acknowledge us. I mean, I didn't want no big call out, no shout out, but I'm just saying, say hi. I'm in your family. I've come to your community. Say hi. I left there. I said, I ain't never. Because, let me, the first thing you know when you go into a place is when you leave, how you felt. It's the experience, how you felt, and then it gets into what they said. Amen. But you want to feel welcome. Amen? Amen. Amen. So the church is the household of faith. It is the family where unconditional love, forgiveness, peace, is all discovered in the context of a church. Then healing takes place and unity comes and people learn the dynamic of a family through relationships they see in the church. All right, let's move on to core values. Let's put up our slide. Today we're going to talk about core values. Core values is the values you hold dear. They are the essence, because out of core values, and you'll see that. Go to the next slide. You form your culture. Your culture is how things are done, how your home operates. That's your culture. Culture is extremely important. Culture is extremely important, your house culture. What was that? Antoine Fisher. I mean, you've seen Antoine Fisher. Okay. And she had the N-word for all the kids, right? And they could tell by the inflections and in the voice which one she was talking to. It's like, hey, Ed. Hey, Ed! You know, she would say that. But they knew, and they say, yeah, hi, what you want? You know, that was the culture of that house. Your core values determine your cultures, your culture, your family culture. Let's go to the next slide. Go to the next one. I already went through that. We have expired values and versus actual values. Okay, so what's the difference? You may have aspired values. Our kids are going to grow up. They're going to finish college. They're going to get an education. That's going to be a value. That's a core value of our family. We're going to raise educated kids. But that's could be an aspired value, but not an actual value. You know why you can tell the difference? You can tell the difference is you never read your kids' books, or you never take them to the library, or you never go to the school, or you don't go to parent-teachers conference. What that is, that's not really an actual value, because it doesn't take your time, it hasn't grabbed your energy, it hasn't grabbed your effort. It's expired, but it's really not actual. The actual value is if you spend all day gaming with the kids, trying to see who can get to the highest level, and that's where your time goes, and that's where your energy goes, and that's where your money goes. That's what your actual value is. That's, amen. So you got aspired values, you got actual values. Sometimes we talk about aspired values, but we never put the energy to achieve them. They're just a hope, and we don't put the mechanics together. All right? Let's go to the next one. Family core values are those characteristics that the family holds closely and prizes highly. It's the core. It's what you love. It's what you hold closely. Let's go to the next one. What you value determines your family culture. Next slide. Discussion. So around your table, I'm going to ask you a question here, and nothing hard. But I want you to discuss this at your table, because this helps you determine your family's core value. Amen? Now, we ain't asked anybody to divulge deep secrets of your family. It's not that type of setting. But this is, hopefully, this will kind of whet your appetite to say, you know what? As a family, we need to look at our core values. And I need to look at the values I come from. What was the value system I came from? And how is that influencing my value system today? I was raised by my mother and grandma. They raised me in church. Church was a core value, and they backed it up, man. I locked myself in the bathroom not to go to church. They'd stick something in there, unlock the door, get me out of there. I had to go to church. And back then, you know, they whooped you back then. I ain't getting many whoopings, though, but they made you go to church. And you couldn't lay down on the bench. You had to sit up and pay attention in church. That's what they do. That was a core value. Now, my father, who was kind of in and out of my life, his value, he loved women. He was smooth, and he loved women. That was his value. I didn't spend a lot of time with him, thank God, so I didn't get that impartation. Amen. But sometimes you need to look in connection with why do you value what you value in relation to where you come from. Okay, so the first question here is, how do the family members communicate? How do you communicate with each other? Let's get going first. What does your family talk about regularly? What does your family talk about regularly, consistently? What does your family? And I know we have different families at the table, so you're going to share amongst yourself. I'm going to put a timer up. And before I do that, I want to ask if there's anything that's unclear, I want to answer those questions so we're on the same page. What does your family, out of all the conversations you have, what do you kind of talk about most frequently? Anybody have any questions about that question? And Pastor Gail, did you write something? You can have more than one, but if you write something, let's share it as an example. And those of you on live stream, you can participate in this if you're around your family. You can say, you know, what do we most frequently talk about? Now, if you don't talk to your husband, wife, sons, and daughters, then we got a problem already. So we got to identify that. We got to find out why you don't talk.
We don't talk. We just grunt. When I'm hungry, I grunt. When she don't feel like being bothered, she grunts. At our house, we just grunt. In the morning, we're like,
So then we had to talk about that. Question over here. Yeah, you're talking amongst yourselves. You're talking amongst yourselves. You can actually talk in today's service.
Amen.
I'm going to have a few tables share your response in a moment here. So let's start that. Why don't you just, Gail has. Just put that, go ahead and start that 3 minutes. We're going to give you 3 minutes to go around your table and talk about. And y'all share the conversation, so in your time, everybody gets a chance to share.
Amen. All right, we got 1 minute. About 1 minute here, we're going to get some responses. As you talk about what you talk about frequently, decide whether this is a aspired value or a value that is an actual value. Is this an actual value? Or an aspired value. The thing that you talk about. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it now. I'm sorry. I'm ahead of myself. So. Okay. If your table is done, raise your hands. You're still working through it. Okay. We got some tables that are done. We got 30 seconds. And you don't have to have the complete answer or whatever. All right. Pastor Gail, do you have a couple of our values? Okay, so we're going to... We're going to go first. Gail and I are going to go first. Okay. And I didn't get a chance to write, but you know what we talk about. Go ahead.
When you addressed the question, I thought about the family thread, so I kind of went from there. And on the thread, mostly we have, videos of the grandkids, and each family kind of talks about the children and that kind of thing. And then we talk about current events. You know, we have law enforcement in our family, so we're always talking about what's going on in society and what's happening around us. And I use that specifically as ways to interject. You know, Jesus is real, you know, and he's, you know, concerned about things. And then we talk about family planning, mostly what we're going to do, trips, and what we're going to do with the kids and what the kids are doing and things of that nature.
Good, good. You had the broad context of it. I thought you was going to put like what you and I talk about, too. Just since our kids are grown.
Since our kids are grown. What we talk about? We talk about business, so what we're doing day to day. So John will talk about MVP. And I'll talk about Hazel's and what I do during the day and things of that nature.
We talk a lot about finances, setting up ourselves.
Yeah, retirement. We talk about that.
Yeah. Money, we talk about money.
Yeah. Traveling, we like to travel, so we talk a lot about what we're going to do when we see a space of empty time. We talk about filling that with things.
Yeah. All right.
Church, we do talk about you guys.
Yeah, talk about you guys a lot. Let me use the one setting our future up, making sure our future is tight. We talk a lot about the retirement, the investments, the land. We have real rental property, and we own a business, and that's an actual core value because we actually invest. We actually try to see other ways and other streams of revenue. So that's an actual, we make decisions, you see, in your core value, you make decisions based on your core value. So we tell ourselves no. When Gail talks about vacation, we go places, but I shop it over and over again to get the best price. Why? Because a core value is not to be frivolous with money. That's a core value.
Or accrue debt.
I don't carry credit card debt and things like that. That's a core value. So it alters my decisions and our decisions when we make purchases. It's core value. You understand how that works? I just wanted us to share, to give an example. Now, somebody else. All right, we have a table over here. Sister Kim.
Okay, we talked about grandchildren. That's a conversation. And what are you doing? Futuristic conversation in new housing, family planning, how we're going to get more income, holiday. Talked about God as being the conversation, and if it's not, try to turn the conversation around to God, because if it's not about God, and we say God, we're talking about positivity, being positive, it turns out to be negative when we're not talking about God. And another conversation we have, another family conversation, what have we done for the kingdom today?
Oh, wow.
So that's our group.
Good. That's kind of a summary of your group.
I summarized, not naming anybody.
Oh, that's good. Go on now.
I just summarized.
All right. Know. That's good. I'm glad you did that. All right. Now, so that's, can we have a summary of this back table?
Take the mic.
Take the mic, Yolanda.
Take the mic.
Frasers. All right. Well, y'all, give pass on them. Pass on them. Let's go to another table. All right. We're the blessed or we're the just flare. So on the next question, one person kind of gets the summary for the table. How's that? All right. Good.
Hello. At this table, the focus was on household family units, and a lot pertain to mothers, those that are elderly, a family member brother that's in a nursing home.
So wellness is a conversation.
Wellness was a conversation here. Uh-huh. And how we, as a family, that's our focus on how we can improve the life of our family member.
So that's your conversation.
Yes.
How can we improve? Okay. Is that a, that's kind of a broad statement. So it's hard to drill that down, whether it's actual or inspired. Like, okay, we've been talking about doing Planet Fitness early in the mornings. That's inspired. That's an inspired value, because we haven't gone to Planet Fitness in the mornings. That's in the context of wellness. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So what you want to do, what I encourage you to do, is to drill down the steps that could be taken, the values you hold, to put legs to it.
Well, the value that, for my family, the value is that we would never put my mom in a nursing home.
There you go.
So my mom will be moving in with me come the 24th of this month.
There you go.
So the family unit is working towards how we can, as a group, keep everything so that it doesn't affect my household with my husband.
Okay. All right. Now, as we talk about some specifics, and as you develop core values to your for your family, you can develop these like general statements, like our family will be a family of celebration, a family of peace, a family of harmony, a family of an example family. And then you can pipe in some specifics to that, okay? Right now we're just getting the dialogue about core values, because in the future weeks we'll talk about mission statement and vision statement for your family. A lot of us don't have vision and mission statements. Family, what is our family about? What's the context of our family? What's the purpose of our family? What has God said to us as a unit? How should we impact other families? That's why we have John and Gail, so we can help relationship. John and Gail is relationship talk. So we help other families, that's core value. And then things come out of that, the culture comes out of that. Is that okay? So we're good? Okay. All right, I think what we're gonna do, I'm gonna go to, we got this table, and we got Kelsey and this table. So we're gonna go to the other table. We're not gonna do that. We're gonna go to another question now. How do family members communicate with one another? Now, the reason we ask you what you talk about frequently is this. What you talk about is what you care about. Your core value comes out of your mouth. That's even what Jesus said. Jesus said, it's not what's outside a man that defiles a man. It's from what comes out of a man. It's what spills over out of his heart. You speak your heart. You hang around anybody long enough, they'll speak their heart. Forget what they do. Listen to what they say. So your core value speaks. So when you talk about what you talk about, is really what you care about. That's what you care about. And that's why we ask that question. Okay. Now, how do your families communicate with one another? Do you sit around the table and have family conversations? Do you text one another? Do you have regular times, family meetings? We used to have family meetings. Can you talk to one another without arguing? You don't have to say this out loud. You don't have to say it out loud. Is there toxicity in your family where opposing viewpoints become very toxic very rapidly? And if they do, then you got to go back to say why. Where is the image broken in our communications? I'm feeling that we're going to have to dive in a little bit on communication. I feel it in the atmosphere. How do you communicate? How do you talk? Pastor Gail and I, we talk in the morning. We, as an example, and you guys going to talk amongst yourselves. And we'll talk in the morning. Now, one thing that triggers me, if I'm on my way out the door and Pastor Gail wants me to do something, it irritates me to all get out. I said, do not ask me a question. I'm on my way out the door. I was like, please. Right? But we usually talk in the mornings and set our day. So how do y'all talk? Let's give 2 minutes on that. 2 minutes. How does your family communicate? All right. Thank you.
All right. You got 50 seconds. You got 50 seconds. All right, all right. All right. And time. And we're going to, the foundation of, you guys set? You guys set? The foundation of everything we're discussing, communication is the foundation. So if you, we have to have successful communication to even discuss core values. So we're going to stay in the line of communication just a little bit as we talk about this. But let's go to this table. You guys ready? You want to present? It could be general. It doesn't, anyone.
We communicate, I think, effectively. Me and my sister, me and my daughter. Like, when I need to talk, I call her my mini best friend. And then go and I talk to her, or she'll come talk to me. I mean, we don't care about what, the only problem is we don't care about what each other's doing. Like, you'd be like, girl, I need to talk right now, this moment, while I'm doing something important. But we do stop and give each other the attention that we need.
Okay, good. Good. All right, anyone else at that table want to share?
We communicate pretty good. Even if we disagree on something, we'll sit. It'll be probably like 4 or 5 hours and pass by. We got to get it talked out before we go to anything else.
Oh, that's awesome. To have that discipline, to not let it just cause a total.
I don't want to be how my family was. We just really didn't talk. My mom worked. She went to school. So it was just me talking to myself for real.
Yeah. So communication then is a core value. And even the rule is we settle a disagreement before we disperse is a tremendous rule. And that's good, because sometimes, like the Bible said, be angry but sin not. Sometimes anger, we don't set the boundaries, and we just it gets bad. Even in Christian homes, like sometimes if we could beam up in people's houses, man. It's like, but thank you for sharing that. I want to go over. Did anybody else at that table? We're good? Catherine's like, over this table. I want to go far right. Communication. My next question is going to be this. Do family members regularly affirm one another? Do you regularly affirm one another? All right, go ahead to the last question. Go ahead.
Okay, so our group, this is hot. So what I got out of this group is that we group text, we use the phone, and we also FaceTime. And then as for me and my family, we have rotating dinners every week with the kids. We have rotating dinners. And then my wife does something that was pretty unique with the children, and what kind of piggybacking off of what she said, when they have a dispute, what she'll do is make them go in the room. And they can't come out until they work it out amongst one another.
Good.
So it's part of our communications.
I'm taking that.
You can take that. If you hear something and you say, you know what, I'm going to try that with my family. Anyone else at that table have any comments? No?
Me and my girls, I don't have much family, really just me and my girls, it's always been
Yeah.
We've always been together. Like
hold the mic close, a little closer to yourself.
We've always been like a ride or die group, just okay. The four of us, ever since their dad died. And it's just me and my mom. And so actually, like right now, it seemed like it's just me and my four girls. Well, now it's just me and my two girls because one moved to Texas. So I'm not going to cry. I'm not gonna, she just moved. But I'm trying to battle that. But we always had a tribe, a group.
Good.
And what we do is wherever something is needed, everybody just look out for each other. And we just kind of always been like that. We always talk, hey, what's going on? We talk every day. And if I don't hear from one of them and the day is done, I text them JCI, which means just checking in, so they know to call me or something's going on, get in touch. Don't go over 2 days without somebody communicating with each other, because as women, you have to stick together, especially with so much going on in the world.
Right.
So that's kind of like how we communicate with each other, either JCI or hey, what's going on, or because we got our own tribe. It's called Sitoma.
That's your tribe name, your family name. That's awesome.
Say it, Libby.
Sitmoa.
What does it mean?
Strength in the midst of all.
What?
I had a peppermint in my mouth. Strength in the midst of all.
So you've actually put and one of the topics in, and I recommend the family handbook to everyone. But what you've done, you put a family name. And that's very important to have a family name.
And we have a crest.
You have a crest?
Oh,
y'all
crest.
Fancy. Y'all should bring that crest. We want to see the crest. All right. So it just turned off. It's so important. And we've been talking about core values, actual versus aspiring. Every family's core value should be communication. Every family's core value should be non-toxic communication. I used to do somebody.
Can you define, not maybe that now, but what is non-toxic versus toxic?
Versus toxic. I was just about to go there. I'm a photographer. I've had a photographer business for a long time. We used to do Santa pictures at the mall. And we had people come sit on Santa's lap, Easter Bunny lap. And one of the malls that we had was Northland. And parents would bring, mostly moms would bring the kids to take pictures with Santa. And the kid would be afraid of Santa. But mom is determined to get this picture with Santa. And mom would say, you're going to sit your so-and-so down on Santa's lap, or I'm going to beat the so-and-so out of you. That's toxic. And some people only know toxic language. My son is a sergeant DPD, Detroit Police, and he was raised, he told me the other day, he said, Dad, I have never heard you curse. Never. Because I was saved when, we were saved, not perfect, but we were saved, and my kids have never heard me curse. I don't curse. But when he said, when I'm out there with these guys, he used to be over gang intel. He says, when I'm out here in gang intel, and I can't walk up to this gang member and say, would you please sit down, stop doing what you're doing? He said, because they do not understand that language. Because they've been talked to a certain kind of way at a certain frequency all their lives, and that's the language they respond to. Now, as Christians, we have to reimagine the family. We have to recreate the family language. We've got to reimagine the family language.
That takes forgiveness, and that takes effort. That takes effort. Go ahead.
They never said Jan or my nickname Jan or B. And I just sat there, I did not know my name.
Whoa. Good. Well, amen. Everything is communication. As we value communication in the Bible, we see the Tower of Babel, the Babel that was being created, and because the people were one voice and one understanding. And it's so important to get our communication tight, to get the toxicity. What is toxicity? It is words that are against the purpose, your design, words that bring you down and not affirm you. And that has to be, that's the foundation. That should be a major core value. And do not, let me say this, do not give up on communication. Find another way. Here's communication. I always describe communication like this. I have a football. I throw the ball. Okay? I'm responsible for the communication. If Minister Curry, if I know that he runs a 4.5 40 and I'm throwing him a long pass, my job is to deliver it in a way that he can catch it. Amen. Somebody that runs a slower 40, I got to throw the ball. I got to give them more time or throw a shorter pass. The communicator is responsible for the communication. And sometimes we lace our communication with triggers we know will get the other person. So we've got to purify and deal with the way we communicate. Amen. To even discuss, to even build anything in our families, we got to come to one. We got to be unified. We have to be in unity. And even that difficult one, there's a way to talk to them. I talk to my kids different. I have 4 children, 2 boys, 2 girls, they're all grown. And each one of them, I have different ways of communicating. Why? Because as a communicator, I am responsible for the communication. Ain't my fault they misunderstood it. Yes, it is. You could ask them, did you understand what I was saying? And don't say, was you smart enough to get what I just said? Or were you able to comprehend what I just said? You understand the words coming out of my mouth? That's right. You know how... You get saved, you lace them words, man. You know you wrong, but you done put some Christianese on it. I'm going to pray for your understanding. You know you being offensive. You being offensive. Communication. Communication has to be a core value. Okay, we got to cut. I'm not going to hold you guys much longer. I want to ask another question on this same line. Let's make a goal of this session here that this week to discuss. Listen, let's get our communication pure and tight without taking it to the next level. And let's set the boundaries of our communication so that we can talk about mission statement, vision statement, core values, so we can develop all that. All right. And you don't communicate just verbally. You communicate with your body language. Amen? And people know. When we get up in the morning, and Pastor Gail comes downstairs, I do this. You know, I got it. I do this. I do. That's my hug. You know, I'm a hug. You know, hug her in the morning. She loves that. She acts like she don't like it, but she likes it. I'll be like, this is before coffee and everything. So what is that? That's communication, right? Now, if I didn't say nothing, just, you know, that's communication. That's communication. Silence is communication. So let's explore this one. Man, there's so many. I want everyone to get this book. This is from Bishop Hugh Smith. It's a tremendous book on family. And we're going to have ongoing sessions and really help families. But all right. Would you say the tone of most conversations tends toward victory or defeat? The tone of the person, your family, your spouse or your sister, brother, whatever it is, the overall tone, is it toward victory or defeat? Okay.
Can you clarify when you say victory, you're talking about the person trying to be the one who's victorious in the conversation?
No. Right? Is it, I'll give you this illustration. James talks about the power of the tongue as life or death. Do we speak life to a situation or death? Is it hopeless, or is it a conversation that tends toward faith? Is it blessing, or is it despair? Is it laced with, you always saying something you shouldn't say. You always doing something you shouldn't do. You know that always? Every time I say something, you got to say something back or say something negative. You always got an excuse why you can't come through. Those are conversations of death. But life is, you know what? We can do this. We can accomplish this. We can overcome this. We can build this. We can have this. We can establish this. My wife tells me, she said, I had a look at a studio I wanted, and you know, it was in rough shape, and I was in a building, I was going to move next door, and she looked at it and said, well, I don't really see it, but you know what, if you go for it, I got you. Amen. So she told me, like, I don't see it, but if you go for it, I ain't going to kill it with my words. Sometimes, husband, we kill each other with our words. Let me sabotage what you're trying to do. Toxic. Is this helping anybody?
Yeah.
Gotta really watch the words we say. Gotta really watch the words we say. Yeah, I see. I'm coming over there now. Listen, go ahead, Sister Connie. Go ahead. Yeah, she did. I saw, but I wanted to finish my thought. See, if she came in before I finished my thought, when I came back, I might have forgot my thought. I had to keep going. All right, Sister Connie, go for it. I don't know how you're going to put your hand. I hope I don't see it. All right.
Okay, so I'm going to make a long story kind of short. For me, I grew up in a very negative environment. So I'm just going to tell you just a brief little story. My mom died when I was 1 year old. My dad was a papa, was a Rolling Stone. So I was raised with him and his girlfriend. Come to find out, the girlfriend was my mom's best friend. And when my mom died, she died partially from a broken heart because my father was a, papa was a Rolling Stone. I can't say what I want to say, but papa was a Rolling Stone. So when I grew up with their family, they used to tease me, at least my mom ain't dead. I go, at least my daddy ain't dead. Well, when I found out, he set us all down. He was very mean. That was a mean man. Holy Ghost. Anyway, he set us down and say, y'all quit teasing her about her mom being dead. She can't help because her mother is dead. Quit teasing you. Quit teasing them because their daddy is not dead. I'm their daddy. Y'all, my face, I'm 12 years old. I'm like, what? So when I learned that, now mind you, coming up in a negative environment, you ain't this, you black so-and-so, you ain't gonna never be this, blah, 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 blah. So my negative environment was always what I can't do, what I ain't gonna be, what I'm not gonna succeed, you know, and you ain't this, you ain't that. So I grew up like that with a lot of anger and rage and bitterness and resentment. So I was a fighter, you know what I'm saying? Because you had relatives who would try to take all this toxic, well, defile your body. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't get molested, but I got fondled a lot of times, but I was a fighter. Long nails, I was scratched. I had to worm my little skinny way out of stuff. My other two sisters, unfortunately, they did. So as I grew up, all I knew was my communication was fighting. You say what? I'm fighting you. I don't care. Somebody gonna die, or somebody gonna get hurt, or somebody going to jail. I just didn't care. But I grew up like that, in a non-caring, chalant attitude. I didn't care about you, you didn't care about me. If you cared about me, if you showed it, I still didn't care because of the environment. So when God got a hold of these black hips through this brother right here, who when we met a year later, we was friends, and a year later he pulls out this wallet, and the wallet read the Father's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. So I thought his looks mesmerized me. Baby, that wallet, if it had not been for the wallet that grabbed my heart and transformed me and my mindset and my mind thinking, I would still be negative. So what I do now, yeah, because I'm going to be honest, this brother was so fine, it wasn't nothing funny. But after he wouldn't talk to me, I thought he was gay. I was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. But anyway, back. All right, he told me to come
back. Get back on, yeah, get back.
He told me to reel it on in.
Oh,
so
God.
I got to reel it back in. I'm being obedient. Thank God for Jesus. But anyway, the moral of my story of being negative, my negative began to turn into spiritually. So God didn't take that fighting away from me. What he did is transformed it in the spirit realm. So I fight in the spirit realm, and I learned of warfare at a young age. And I learned, devil, I don't care what you say I can't do. Not all I did was reverse it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to prove to you that what I can do. I'm going to prove to you what I'm going to do. I'm going to prove to you who I am, and that's what I did. So I'm just saying that, yes, negative and toxic things can work for the good, because God said what was meant for evil, he would turn it into...
All right. Lord have mercy. Are we going to get to this question here? Thank you for sharing. Thank you. Hey, Connie, thank you. Yeah. And I agree, your man is fine. He's like, he's mesmerizing. Ooh, Lord. Okay. Woo, Lord. I don't know about have a seat, DeMarcus. All right, now. Okay. Y'all gonna take me off, okay, so the tone of our conversations, and we're going, here's some things to consider. And we won't get to all of them, but how prevalent is cynicism or sarcasm in your family's communication? How prevalent is cynicism or sarcasm in your family's communication? And that's sarcasm. Does your family use private signs, symbols, codes, or inside jokes to communicate?
I'm just giving you a list of things to consider. And these are in this book, the Family Handbook, that I encourage you to get and really go through with your family. And there are $10 here. I have a few left. You can download them too. Do family members regularly pray for one another? Let me tell you, if your family's conversation is toxic, praying together will help heal it.
Amen.
It'll help heal it. Because prayer is communication. Prayer is communication. And you have to want it so bad, it has to be such a core value, because it affects your culture. Communication displays your culture. You go into some restaurants, and they'll be like, what you want? You know, that's the culture, is displaying the communication. Then you go to a place that charges you $200 for a steak, they have a whole different level of communication. You see? So it displays your culture. It displays your culture, how you talk. And that's something that can be handed down, like we did the image, the picture, from generation to generation. But you have to be determined to be the generation that stops it. That says, we're going to talk. We're going to respect. And if you don't have that, amen, you join hands and you pray and say, Lord, help our level of respect for one another. Amen. Amen. Let me finish this thought. There's times, Pastor Gail, I've been married, you know, long enough to have gone through phases where we needed to go and get counseling. Where our communication wasn't penetrating, it just wasn't connecting. And you could get to we've seen times, and I'll come to you too, we've seen times where I'll say something so innocently, or she'll say something to me, and I'm defensive, and it just gets off track so quickly. So you can live, but here's the thing. If you're used to living in that toxic environment, it's home. Just like we heard Sister Jeanette say, like we heard Connie say, you can literally make a home out of a toxic environment. And that's just how we function. And people come, and they'll be like, you know, I just said, well, wow, this is strange. But they know how to live there. And they'll live for years. Amen. And look at you, strange. We had a friend that were a married couple, and the wife was so controlling and so standoffish. One time we were invited to their house. She just didn't communicate, and she communicated with her eyes, the rowing of her eyes. And we were invited to the house, go in the house with the kids. She never did come downstairs. Eventually, she calls her husband up. And we're standing there like, what's going on here? He comes back downstairs, tells us we have to leave. But that's, and they live that way. They live that, and they stay married. And they live that way. But that's not God's design for your family. That's not God's design. And that has to be, so I challenge you to make that, I'm going to go to DeMarcus and then Sister Lucretia. I challenge you to really make that a core, an assignment this week. Because you gotta be willing to embrace this in order to go through this month. Because it all hinges on the ability to be able to communicate. Amen. Decide that you don't want your environment to be toxic. And we're not going to live like this. And we're not going to stay like this. Okay, Marcus and Christian.
First off, I would like to apologize for...
No, you're fine, man. Let's.
I was watching it on Facebook and catching a lot of the comments.
You're good. You're good.
My family's kind of separated everywhere. Oh, yeah. Hi, microphone. I don't know why I'm talking the way I am.
Get to your question, Ben.
Yeah. So it's not really so much of a question. It's just, my family's separated, like, all over the country other than my sister.
Yeah.
My dad lives, like, 5 miles away from me, and we barely communicate just because we're a bunch of pig-headed guys. Like, you know, until we get together. I love my father. We just had a bad past. You know, he treats my sister well, but when we were growing up, I got treated like I was not stupid, but treated like I was a waste. You know, so like, you know, so I'm in algebra 2 and my sister's in 8th grade and he felt that I was picking the one calculator because it had more buttons instead of picking the bigger one, you know. But within the past, I want to say a couple of years, like our relationship has changed. We're communicating more even though I don't see him much when we do finally talk. You know, it's more on the level of my health or his health and trying to find ways to navigate through. And my thing is that, yeah, you could totally live in a toxic situation, but there's gonna be this one point that when you start caring and look at yourself, like I had to look at myself and my alcoholism, you know, and my drug addictions and make changes and start caring about my life, well, they'll start seeing those improvements in you and want to be helpful and help get you to grow to be a better person.
Good.
You know, so I was more or less what I wanted to just say. You know, you sometimes that toxic environment is not just the one person, but it's you. You gotta care about you to make those changes.
That's great, man. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. And you know what? I love what you said about we got better. It started to heal as we communicated. Communication brings healing. Brings healing. So thank you, man. That was awesome.
All right. Y'all ready?
I don't know.
No, honestly, what is your like wisdom and strategy on? Because even when you have a divorce, like family doesn't stop after a divorce. Like,
right.
You still have to keep the lines of communication open with, you know, that ex. So, you know, what is your wisdom and strategy on how to like effectively communicate with? I can't even say effectively communicate, like. How to communicate with somebody who communication is toxic, like they don't trust you, they don't even really want to talk to you, they have to because it's court ordered.
Yeah, we're in an adverse animosity where there's hostility and a lot of baggage in the communication. And so remember when I said about the football is a communication, you deliver it. And one thing I'm going to talk about here as we wrap up is that our words are seeds. Our words are seeds. Your family is your garden. Adam and Eve was in their garden. Your family is in the garden. Look at your family as your garden. The seeds that you plant in your garden, you're going to reap what you sow. So even though you're delivering one stream of communication and you're not getting a return, that because you don't, when you do something to you're not going to necessarily get the equal return, you still deliver the best seeds you can. So you don't let a person take you there. You deliver good seeds in your garden. What's that? You know, and sometimes that's hard because you really want to retaliate, but you don't. And so you keep the words. Here's a scripture for you. I'm going to give you guys a few scriptures here. Colossians 4 and 6. Let your speech be always with grace. Because your speech, somebody say my speech.
My speech.
My communication.
My communication.
Are seeds.
Seed.
They're seeds. They're seeds.
Thank you.
And so let your speech always be with grace. Sow grace seeds seasoned with salt that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Sow seeds of grace. Let grace be on your communication even though the other person is toxic. Because you know what's going to happen? With prayer and those seeds of grace sown, it takes time. Seeds take time to grow. It's going to deal with the bitterness, the resentment,
the malice. But it's going to take time. But the thing about God sees his truth, his aletheia we taught, his reality, is that it will overpower that. But you just got to weather the time and just keep sowing the seeds. Our seeds are communication. Sometimes you can have couples that have totally broke down. I know someone, they said their family, they don't talk to one another, and they don't communicate. Their relationship, the communication has totally broken down. But that can be restored if you say, we're going to stop planting these seeds of bitterness and resentment and disrespect and dishonor, and we're going to plant new seeds. And it's going to take time to rebuild this. But we're going to commit to rebuilding it. We're going to commit to, because God wants marriages to be fantastic, wonderful, loving. I called Gail. She was driving. And my niece and them saw she, I'm on her phone. I'm Big Papa. Of course, Christine got to say something about Big Papa, but a Big Papa. That's right. God wants, he wants Mary, he wants your family, he wants you to be Big Papa. And Sexy Mama.
I just wanted to say that this was so much needed in my life today, because I blocked my son from communicating with me last week. No. But I will be unblocking him today. Amen. I will be going by his house today. But I'm going to say this. As I said earlier, silence is communication. And regardless of that negative act, I will always love my baby.
Amen. 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 And you know what you do, Cheryl? You know, I love the scripture. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. So, Father, I pray for my communication, even as I talk to my son, my daughter, my whatever it is. I pray, Lord, that my communication lands on good ground. And you can even go into warfare, Connie. I bind spirits of misunderstanding that would block the communication from being understood or received. Let me give you a few scriptures here as we wrap up. Next week, we're going to have Dr. Kennard here, and it's going to be the same format. It's the same format all month. Bring family members. We can get some more tables now. We'll get more tables. You'll bring more family members. Let God heal this your family. Let him take you to another level. Let him reimage and recreate and restore and revive your family. Or take your family to another level. You know, there are the Bushes and the Kennedys, and there are dynasties that have been established because they understood generational responsibility. The Fords. God wants you to have a dynasty, a family dynasty, where from generation to generation, you imparting, you're not imparting toxicity. You're like my grandmother did me. You're imparting prayer. You're imparting the word. You're imparting Jesus Christ. You're imparting wisdom and knowledge and integrity and character. And it goes from generation to generation. And even if your kid, I told my wife the other day, I said, man, I wish I was older when I had my sons. I would have told them and imparted to them differently. But I was 18 years old. I'm trying to wash dishes and bus tables and try to make a living. So I didn't know. I didn't know what it meant to be a dad. We're all still close now. We have family times together. But it's not too late. You impart to them on where they are now. It's not too late. Come on, somebody say it's not too late. It's not too late for my marriage. It's not too late for my family. It's not too late for my children. It's not too late for my sons, my daughters. It's not too late. Colossians 4 and 6 was the words be few. And here's Philippians 4 and 8. You have postcards. You can write these on the postcards and meditate on these. Finally, brothers and sisters, because of my communication is a seed, and because I release seed when I talk, you know what? I'm going to guard my mind. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever anything is excellence or praiseworthy, I'm going to think about such things, because if I meditate on these things, that's what's going to come out of my mouth. I'm going to forgive. It's amazing. Here's another scripture, Acts 2. It is amazing that when the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit captured the tongue. Acts 2 and 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. We'll give the Holy Spirit some things, but we won't give them our tongues. If you're filled with the Spirit, He ought to have your tongue. I'll say it again. If you feel with the Spirit, He ought to have your tongue. Submit your tongue to God. We already talked about James. And even God speaks, and he declares in Isaiah 55 and 11. He says, so shall my word or my seed that goeth forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereunto I sent it. That seed, that word that God has spoken about your family, about your relationships, about your marriage, about your house, amen. Speak that word. Speak the word of God over your family. It's not going to return void. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let's stand. We're going to pray, and we have communion. Matter of fact, as we're standing, if you're going to observe communion, there's cups. There's cups. Take a cup. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I'm about to prophesy over your family, so if you have your phone, you can get your phone ready in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on and worship Him. There's a in Genesis 6 and 9 in the NIRV version. In the NIRV version, it says, here is talking about Noah. Here is the story of Noah's family line. That's what it says in the NIRV version. It's Genesis 6 and 9. Here is the story of Noah's family line. I hear the Lord saying, I've looked at your line and I looked at your family. And the Lord says, I've not forgotten your family, nor have I forsaken your family. For I've even heard the prayers that you've uttered, even to your children's children, said the Lord. And I look at your family and I call them by name. The Lord says, my destiny and my purpose rest on your family. And even that one that you feel is too gone and too far away, the Lord says, my eyes and my hand is upon them. The Lord said, that's why they're still in the earth, because some have even made decisions and would have caused them to do things that would have taken them out of this earth. But my protection has been upon them, saith the Lord. Yes, they've been wounded, they've been rejected, and they've been abused by the world. But the Lord says, I send my angels and the seed of my word to cause to grow and grow in their heart. And the Lord says, yes, there'll be wisdom that you need. There's knowledge that you need. There's even a framing of the words and a certain vocabulary that you'll need to use when they call you on the phone. The Lord says, do be open to new approaches and be open to new communications, the Lord says, because they're reaching out to you because I'm dealing with their heart. I even see that in particularly there's a son. There's a son that I'm seeing, specifically a son. Now, this word can relate to more than a son, but I'm seeing a son that's even further in distance, the geography. They may be out of state, but the Lord says, I'm dealing and my eyes are upon them, because the Lord says the earth is not large to me. It's large to humans, but it's not large to me. I'm every place. I'm all over the earth, said the Lord. So my eyes are upon them, said the Lord, and I'm going to deal with their heart, and you're going to see miraculous salvations take place in your home. And the Lord says, I'm restoring marriages, relationships, but I'm calling you and I'm challenging you by my spirit, says the Lord, to forgive the past, to let go of the past. For the Lord says the hurts of the past and the disappointments of the past have framed your current communication. But in order to get over that and get past that, the Lord says you've got to let go of the past hurts and the disappointments. You've got to let go of it. And even some of you need to forgive yourselves and know that I forgive you. You need to forgive yourselves and let your communication and your vocabulary shift and change, the Lord says. And even those relationships, I see a relationship where there's a child and the mom and dad, you're not married, and you're just having all kinds of communication with the baby daddy drama and mama drama is just not coming together. The Lord says you're in the right place at the right time, because I'm releasing wisdom to you. I'm releasing insight to you. I'm releasing the patience you need to allow me to work on their heart, says God. So do not respond with language of old, and do not respond with language of the past. The Lord says, I'm going to give you new language. I'm going to give you a new vocabulary. I'm going to give you a new approach. I'm going to give you a new way to deliver the ball of communication, the Lord says. And yet, even there will be times where no words will be said. Just prayer, just war, just fasting, and no words, the Lord says, because you've been trying to convince the hard heart, and you've been trying to convince the rebellious heart. And the Lord said, that's my job. You cannot convince what my spirit needs to do on the inside. So there'll be times where you'll hold back and simply say, I love you. Simply say, I love you. All is well. All is well. And the Lord says, and you'll do the work in your communication with me, and you'll see me bring new creation and new identity and restoration in your relationship, says the Lord. And yes, the devil cannot have your family. He cannot have your marriage. He cannot have your relationship, says the Lord. For I stand with you to perform my word and to bring it to pass. So now I release healing, says the Spirit of God. Healing over your words. Healing of the toxic environment. I cause an environment of worship, of praise, of love, and forgiveness to rest upon your home. The Lord says, if you want that portal open, even the portals that have been closed, portals of communication that have been closed in the past, portals that have been shut down, the Lord says, I open new portals over your home, portals of communication, love, and forgiveness. And if you want that over your home, the Lord said, lift your hands and receive it by faith. Everybody, Yosha. Randa. Oh, yes, Jesus. We receive it, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, oh, yes. The portals are open of communication and understanding. Portals of wisdom and insight. Portals of peace and not confusion. Portals of unity and not disunion and father and division. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I receive it, Lord. I want you to say, I receive it for the Stewart household. You receive it for your household. I receive it for the Stewart household. Say, I receive it for whatever your household is, whatever your household name is. Receive it in the name of Jesus. I receive it. I receive it. Oh, my God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh. Hallelujah. My God, my God. My God, my God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, thank you for your presence resting on this month. Every session, every time we come together, let there be breakthrough, Lord, and blessing and restoration in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.